The verses selected for our meditation this morning are taken from Matthew's Gospel, where we read in chapter 6. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. This is our text. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Our text this morning is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the five great discourses that's described in Matthew's Gospel. The adage, know your audience, is one of the first things that's learned in public speaking. Jesus knows his audience. And these verses are a clear example of that. Let's see what Jesus told those assembled that day as he introduces this portion of the sermon, which focuses on what should and should not be the motivation for piety. He says at the beginning of the chapter, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. This theme is elaborated by Jesus as he describes proper motivation for things like giving to the needy, fasting, and in the case of today's text, prayer. His audience was well aware of the public activity displayed by groups like the Pharisees. And I have no doubt there were probably a few of them at the sermon there that day when he spoke these words. So let's hear again how Jesus opens this section on prayer. He says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by men. The idea of being conspicuous while praying, whether in church or in public, wasn't just common during Jesus' time. It was actually considered a mark of righteousness by the Jews. Standing, of course, wasn't the issue. It was the attitude that went along with it. In Luke's gospel, Jesus told a parable about two men who went to the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee, who was certainly one of those that was respected as a teacher of the law. Jesus says this about that Pharisee in his parable. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. Jesus knew his audience, both the Pharisees and those who looked up to them as models of righteousness. Their self-centeredness was at the core of what, in fact, actually kept them separated from God. And we are a part of that audience also. What is our motivation when we pray? Are we more concerned about what people see? Or that we feel pretty good about ourselves? Neither stands up in God's sight. Remember, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. On our own, no matter how straight we stand, no matter how good we feel about ourselves, We always fall short in God's eyes. Thankfully, we don't rely on ourselves. We simply look to God, our Father. And we can do this because of what Jesus did through his perfect life and innocent death. The writer of the Hebrews emphasizes this to us when he writes that Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. So let's see now how Jesus would have us pray. He says in our text, "But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." God knows all things. We don't need to make some grandiose announcement. We can confidently come to him without fanfare, in secret, in fact, and he will reward us. In the parable that we heard about in Luke's gospel, the other individual who went to pray in the temple was a tax collector, one of those despised by society. He came meekly to God. He wasn't even able to look up to heaven when he asked for mercy from God. Jesus concluded this parable by stating that it was him, that is the tax collector, who went home justified and not the Pharisee who relied upon himself. Jesus promises us the very same. Now the second half of our text focuses on effective prayer in a little different way. And so we read, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of even before you ask him." Jesus' audience was well acquainted with the uselessness of vain repetition. For example, in 1 Kings, they heard about how the false prophets of Baal and Asherah saw the power of God through his prophet Elijah. Elijah had more than 800 of the heathen priests gather in front of an altar, on top of which was a bull that was to be sacrificed, and he had them pray to their gods to burn that sacrifice. They shouted for hours. They began to engage in ecstatic dancing, drove themselves to a frenzy, and even resorted to self-mutilation to try to coax their gods to burn that sacrifice. This went on from morning until evening. Finally, when they were done, Elijah stood up and said simply, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." God's answer to Elijah's prayer was simple and unquestionable. Fire came down from heaven and not only consumed the sacrifice, but the entire altar as well. Certainly, the Jews who were listening to Jesus were well aware of this. In our text, Jesus sharply contrasts the futile prayers of those who pray to a god such as Baal to the prayers of Christians who pray to God our Father, who knows our needs even before we ask. And unlike the futile prayers of the heathen, we don't need to come to God in fear, but instead hopefulness. Jesus emphasizes this through the image of a father, where a child comes with his or her request to the father and then waits expectantly for the loving fatherly response. Luther puts it this way, when he talks about this section of Scripture. He says, "Now, no one can do this, that is, call him Father, unless he has a word of God which says that he wants to have us call him Father, and that as a Father has promised to hear us and help us. To do this, one must have such a faith in his heart and a happy courage to call God his Father, praying on the basis of a hearty confidence, relying upon the certainty that the prayer will be heard, and then waiting for help. No matter what your burden is, concern for your health or that of someone in your family or close to you, a relationship or family in turmoil, or uncertainty about your life after graduation, we do not need to prove ourselves worthy to pray. Or do we need to pray in a certain way to bring our petitions before God? Instead, we just need to come to him as our Father and ask him simply as Jesus tells us." Jesus knew his audience. Jesus knows us. He knows our pain, our trials, our temptations, possibly anything that we could be burdened with. And because of this, in his relationship with the Father, we are able to confidently pray to God, just as we heard here this morning in our text, that your Father knows the things you have seen and have need of even before you ask him. Thanks be to God. So we rise for prayer. For our prayer this morning, we will join together in the prayer that immediately follows this portion of Scripture, which is the Lord's Prayer. So we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be and abide with each of you this day. Depart in peace.